Wendy, the Jay Parade is about to begin. All of our guests today's names are Jay. It's a coincidence. Jay Bonansinga sits across.
I dig that music.
Do you like that music a little bit?
I insist that it's played whenever I walk into a room.
Wait, let me introduce you, and then we'll talk about that music. Jay Bonansinga, a great author, a great musician, a great director, and then all of a sudden, he's writing the novelized versions of The Walking Dead. Let's talk about that song for just a second. I usually DVR The Walking Dead, so I could fast forward through that theme song, but that theme song puts us in the mood for the show.
Bear McCreary is the name of the
is
guy
that who's
composed that. I agree. I love it. Remember 6 Feet Under?
Yeah. Yes.
I would always watch that opening, too, even when I didn't have to.
I did The Sopranos, too.
Yeah, The Sopranos.
And
another
Deadwood and True Detective are the other two that you need to watch. It's just a minute.
Spend and Breaking Bad.
Oh, Breaking Bad also works. Yeah.
And Jay, I ran into you. I went to walkerstalker.com, and it was you were there amongst the other celebrities that were there, and my 11-year-old was, what's this? And Jay has written some novels, I guess like prequels to...
Yeah, exactly. But I was just telling Stephanie, it's really... fascinating how each of the mediums that The Walking Dead is in, video games, comic book, the TV show, and these novels, they all are their own world unto themselves. So somebody could die in the TV show and they could live on, the same character in the novel, and vice versa.
But is that confusing for some people, or do they just accept it?
I would have thought it would be confusing,
but
it's... I think people love it because it's scarier. You don't know who is going to die when.
Right.
Anybody could die at any time. That's Kirkman's main, modus operandi. But also, there's no disappointment. Like, you don't go, I really like the comic book better. Right?
Really, yeah.
There's no comparison. They're all like completely different, and it's like DNA getting screwed up somewhere, Bob,
as it would with zombies around,
right, exactly, which is very apropos, isn't it? Yeah, like Bob Stuckey, for instance. Bob Stuckey is a character that was introduced in the TV show this last season, and he's a very interesting, cool guy, but the Bob Stuckey in the novels is a completely different race, different age, different background. Same name, though.
How about that?
And they serve similar functions.
Star Wars does that, too, with all the different, entities of it.
Very true.
When it was so funny, Bill, because I went up to him at Walker Stalker, and I'm like, oh, Jay, nice to meet you.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm back with Bill Leff. We should have you up on the show. And you're like, I've been on with Bill Leff. So it was like a whole small world thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
I love this place.
Oh, that's so nice of you, Jay. Right back at you. Thanks.
We did not delay intentionally. Bill and I discussed this, and we thought it would be good when I'm not caught up in Walking Dead. But now that there is a gap...
Mm-hmm.
Now people can turn to the novels, and we said, let's have Jay up then.
Yeah. This is beautiful marketing, vertically integrated promotion, working like a well-oiled machine.
It couldn't be better. Why do you think, because this is a story that's been told for years, of people being reanimated. Sometimes they're called zombies. I know in the Walking Dead universe, they're called walkers. But why is this story that's been around for decades all of a sudden at its peak? Why is it more popular than ever?
It's a fascinating question, and Robert and I both, when we're doing, appearances for the novels, we get asked this question a lot, and I'm sure Robert gets asked it, constantly, and I get asked it quite often. My own theory is that times are so scary now for many people.
Yeah.
The zombie is a very unique archetype. It's not a vampire. Vampires have personalities. They're sexy.
Yeah.
They're cool. They're Frank Langella. Boy, I dated myself just now.
Was he Dracula?
He was
speaking
Dracula
of dating
in the
ourselves.
80s. But that works. That
someone
absolutely
has to
works.
Date you.
but zombies are... part of the environment. There's no personality. They're not delineated. They're like a mass of threat, and they're slow and stupid. And you can pretty much outrun one or two zombies.
Right.
But if they hoard together, if they swarm, they'll get you. In fact, they'll tear your town apart.
Why do they hang out together? I always wonder that when I'm either watching or reading about them. What's in it for them to pal around together?
It's like a school of fish.
Is that what it is?
They're just driven by this, central nervous system that's just ticking and dieseling through this, you know, plague.
Yeah.
And they just want to eat, and they can't get any sustenance, and they don't eat each other.
Right.
They don't eat rotten meat. They eat live, you know, they want fresh.
Yeah.
Meat. Yeah.
I guess I understand that.
Yeah.
I had, I you know, a couple years back on one of the books, the British editor sent us an email, and she's like, you know, in the book, there's a place where they're all in it. There's a bunch of zombies in a church. It's like the entire congregation, and they're in the church for months. Why wouldn't they eat each other?
Yeah.
And I was like, did I screw up big time? Oh my God. I was questioning everything for like days. And I remember Kirkman, his inimitable, you know, laconic, you know, badass way, would just send an email back to the British. Zombies don't eat each other. Next question.
We don't want to talk about it.
Thank God.
It's just the way it is. Yeah. Well, isn't it? I'm trying to remember if it's in Dawn of the Dead where there's a line where they say they do what they did in life.
Yeah.
They wonder why all go walking around
the
mall.
Very good.
Right?
You have just film geeked me. You've
Thank
topped
you.
Me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yeah, they're
surprised?
In the mall. They're in the. No.
Look who you're talking to. Yeah.
They're in the mall. And one of the characters, one of the survivors, looks down at them just like shuffling in front of Spencer's gifts.
Yeah.
And like, why do they come here? And the other character says something like, yeah, it's a place they felt comfortable in.
Right. So that part of their brain is still active to
right.
some respect.
Yeah, like you know, pigeons. Like,
yeah,
you know, they're but that archetype makes them really resonate for people today, because it's like you're mortgage being underwater, you
mm-hmm.
know, you can pay it off this month, you can shoot it in the head,
right,
but next month it's coming around again.
Yep. Yeah.
And the zombie really resonates, I think, for people in these kind of strange times. The last big wave was in the 60s, you know, when we were in Vietnam, and
mm-hmm.
they resonated that just the endless problem.
Yeah,
that just keeps coming back.
See, we are scared now.
Is a temple of doom.
It is a temple of doom, the studio. Absolutely.
I mean, terrorism does make you think about the apocalypse and the end of the world, but I don't know. Somewhere along the line, I didn't think about walkers in my apocalypse.
Oh.
I thought some people call them biters, too. I like that.
Right.
It's such an exciting show. Michael Rooker moved to Chicago at 13 and has been a Chicago native. He just turned 59 on April 6th. We got to try and get him on
That'll
the
be
show.
Fun.
He's a great,
Is
great
he?
Guy, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, get him on. You'll really enjoy him. By the way, biters and walkers, the people in Woodbury sort of invented the word biter. This is, again, for super fans, for geeks. This is a little inside.
The prison inmates.
Walkers became like this, you know, universal phrase across the South during this whole mythology. But the Woodbury people came up with the phrase biters.
Oh, they did.
Yeah.
They did. Can I throw this theory out at you as well? This is the main reason I think we're so kind of entrenched in zombiedom right now, is that, like with the other classic monsters of literature
right.
and of television and in film, the mummy was never our friend. The Wolfman wasn't our friend. Dracula, Frankenstein, those guys weren't our friends. But with these guys in The Walking Dead, that was our next door neighbor or our
right.
cousin or our brother, and now all of a sudden they've turned against us and they can kill us, and that
yeah.
makes it really scary.
Yeah, that's true. And you're pointing out something. I think that the past season, this most recent season, explored, like, there's a
no
moment.
No spoilers.
I haven't seen the last season. Okay,
yet.
You haven't seen it yet. Yeah,
and don't tell us what happened on McHale's
no spoilers,
Navy, because I haven't watched all those yet. I'm still a season behind on McHale's Navy.
I'm close.
No,
I'm
you're
on
a
episode
season,
12 on season done. 3. So
they
I'm,
sink.
No, don't, Jay. You guys.
That's the great. I think that's why this has become such a phenomenon. It's like it's the what if.
Mm-hmm.
What if you had to deal with this, and you had to protect your kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how far would you go? What would you do? And, you know, there's a moment when one of the characters, I won't give anything away, but she just says, it changes you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never fun, but you got to do it, and it changes. Meaning, you know, putting these zombies down.
Yeah.
Because as you say, they're your neighbor. They're your dentist.
And Bill and I were talking off the air, too, about Coral, which we call him.
Mm-hmm.
It's Carl, but someone said Carl to me, and I go, who is that?
I don't drink, but there's a drinking game I would play if I did drink, which is every time the sheriff yelled out, Coral, because he's always lost. I'd be drunk all the time. I'd be like Foster Brooks.
I'm not usually a fan of child actors. I think sometimes they don't nail it. Yeah. And after even the first season, I was iffy about Coral.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, has he transitioned into a fantastic actor.
He's
going to be at C2E2. I got to go stalk him. Mm-hmm. It's long hair. It made him cooler.
Yeah, right. And I love that hat.
Oh,
the sheriff's hat?
Yeah. I don't know what it is about that. It's so cool. And
so you put him in a Pharrell hat. He's not as cool, but a sheriff's hat, that works. Jay Bonansinga is here, a great, great author, a fantastic musician, wonderful director. He's responsible for the Walking Dead novels and a lot more that we'll talk about next. Stay here. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. See, it doesn't work if they sing walk. It's not as good of a song. Jay Bonansinga is here. He was a fantastic writer on his own, and then all of a sudden he was handpicked by Robert Kirkman, the architect of the Walking Dead universe, to help co-write the novelizations of The Walking Dead. I know you worked on Rise of the Governor and Woodbury.
I wanted to just say, when I met Jay, I didn't know what Woodbury was or The Governor, so we got the first book, and now after watching it, I can't wait to borrow my son's books and read further.
Cool.
Yep. This is one of the great bad guys of all time, the Governor, in this series. That is a classic bad guy.
And David Morrissey was an incredible actor, and he was sort of like the fully evolved Governor. Like the Governor in the comic book is very broad and arch and kind of really nasty, and you can tell from the first frame that he appears in. I would not go on a tour with him. You know, he takes let me take you on a tour of the town.
Sure.
No thanks. No tours. He's got like a Fu Manchu mustache and greasy hair. He looks like a biker, but he's really a cool, you know, villain in the comic. He won like an Eisner Award for the villain of the year,
really,
like back in 2004.
And oddly enough, the Governor on the television series has the tiniest mouth I have ever seen in the world. He has no lips, and he's kind of a Liam Neeson, Kirk Russell
hybrid
kind of. Yes,
that's so true. I never even thought of that.
Yep.
Yeah. In the book, the Governor is sort of version 2.0. He's a little more complex, a lot more complex. And then David Morrissey took it into a completely complex area where you almost sympathize with him.
And yet hate him the next minute.
And yet hate him,
He's good.
It's more creepy that way, you know, almost.
Yep.
It's just, but he would study the books. I mean, he brought stuff, he in the writer's room brought stuff from the books into the show.
That's great.
That was when, you know, my wife and I would jump off the couch and scream.
Yeah,
and, you know,
that's good
Blake,
news for you.
Blake, his name Blake, was brought into the show, and he never had a name in the comic book. So I named him Blake in the
Philip
Blake. Yeah. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that name.
Yeah.
You know, it Blake sounds like it could cut you.
Yeah.
You know, good. And it's sort of like, you know, It's a transcendent poet, you mm-hmm. know, from the 19th century, and you know, it's,
or maybe a nod to Robert Blake, who has a dark side.
Robert
maybe,
Blake,
possibly.
You're right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Keep your eye on the spirit.
Again, we're dating ourselves.
Yeah, just a little bit.
We got to stop.
You said wife. I understand there was a special wedding cake you had at your recent wedding. Congratulations!
Yes, thank you.
Three
weeks ago, I married the lovely and beautiful and talented and gorgeous Jilly Norton. And the people at the Walker Stalker, which is sort of the nerd fest, geek fest gathering. I mean that as a compliment to all my brethren geeks.
Yeah. Of course, you're one of them too.
I'm one of them too, you know. I'm just lucky to be like paid for it.
What was the cake? What'd you have going
on?
And
so
the
they made us a zombie cake. And it had a little zombie bride and a little zombie.
That is adorable.
Some brain frosting.
What's that?
With brain frosting?
Yes,
did it have that?
Yes.
That's perfect.
It was delicious, actually.
And the small world, when we just arrived at Walker Stalker, whatever it is, .com, whatever it is, I rode up in the elevator with your then fiance at the time.
Oh yeah, that's right.
That's right. It's just a weird small world.
Yeah.
We have a text that I think only you can answer. How do zombies go to the bathroom? They are eating. Where does it go?
That's a great question.
Thanks,
847. That's an excellent question. My hat's off to that texter. I've thought about that way too much.
Really?
Yeah.
I have thought about those things like you would not believe. And, you know, the fact is they don't, there's no digestion that goes on. So when they eat, it just sits inside them. If they would burst,
yeah.
there's no intestinal, you know,
function.
None of that's
working. No acidophilus needed for a zombie.
They should not bother with Healthy Trinity. That would not
help
them.
Exactly.
So in an apocalypse, Healthy Trinity doesn't exist.
Metamucil doesn't exist at all.
Wow.
But that's why they're so ravenous, because they're just eating, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not sustaining them, so they just want to eat like crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
Jay, if people want to read more about you, know more about you, what's the best website? What is it?
JayBonansinga.com.
Your own name.
That's kind of the portal, and, you know.
Jay's last name is spelled BonanSinga. Jay, always great to see you.
Thank
this is the first
so
time
much.
I've ever seen you in the daytime. I didn't even know if you would be out in the daytime, but here you are out in the daytime. Come back more often, okay?
I would be disappointed if I didn't come
perfect,
back.
Perfect.
To talk about zombie.
Whenever you want.
Zombie regularity.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
More
Thank
after
you.
This. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.